Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greyer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have Faith Gambetti and Kath Berry. Faith is a 66-year-old trans woman and is co-owner of Wavelength Hair Salon in Washington State, which Faith says is a comfort and sanctuary to the LGBTQ plus community.
And Kath is the other co-owner of Wavelength Hair Salon. So they own this hair salon together, and they are life partners. And Kath is a retired, as of January 2021, retired IT person and artist, and in heaven being retired, I'm assuming. So welcome both of you, Kath. Am I right? It's heaven being retired?
It's very wonderful being retired. After so many years, I'm finally paroled.
36 years in one job. Wow. One company. And Faith? Hi.
Hello.
So good to see you again and have you on our show.
It's really good to be with you again. I had no idea that you're going to invite me back, and I'm just really honored to do this.
Well, for the listeners, I want to remind everyone that, yes, we invited you back, Faith, that you've been on our show two other times, once in May of 2018 and again in December of 2019, and you were with Kath the second time. And here it is, April of 2021, and Faith is sharing her great news. Yes, we heard through the grapevine, through the Facebook grapevine, that Faith is going to have gender reassignment surgery end of this week, April 9th. And we wanted to talk to her about it before the surgery, and then we wanted to have a chat with her after the surgery. So this is the pre op interview. So we know you're very, very excited, Faith, for this.
Yeah. So this has been a very, very long time coming for me. And all of the things that have led up to this point in my life, it is something that I never dreamed that it would be possible. I always dreamt of it, but I just really didn't think it would ever become reality.
If you want to hear more about Faith's journey to getting here, 1 week away from her operation, stay tuned.
But first, news and events with our Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of October 3rd, 2021. A new study by UCLA's Williams Institute of Law finds that an estimated 2.3 million adults in the U.S. identify as Hispanic or Latinx and LGBTQ. Researchers found that Latinx LGBT people fare worse than their non-LGBT counterparts on some measures of economic and social vulnerability, including unemployment and food insecurity. In addition, Latinx LGBT adults face disparities in mental and physical health, such as depression, asthma, and chronic health conditions compared to non-LGBT adults. However, similarities were found between the two groups, including household annual income and experiences of victimization and discrimination. And some of the key findings include Latinx LGBT adults are more likely to be unemployed and to experience food insecurity. 37% of Latinx LGBT adults live in a household income below $24,000 a year, and 60% of Latinx LGBT adults live below 200% of the federal poverty level. Nearly 30% of Latinx LGBT adults have been diagnosed with depression, compared to just 16% of Latinx non-LGBT adults. And 17% of Latinx LGBT adults said they don't feel safe or secure, and 42% reported experiencing physical assault or threats. And in a similar story, the U.S. Census released data from its first ever LGBTQ survey. The U.S. Census Bureau revealed that LGBTQ plus people have been hit especially hard by economic troubles during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. In the survey, respondents could self-identify as either gay or lesbian, bisexual, something else, I don't know, or straight that is not gay or lesbian. They could also self-identify their gender and status as either cisgender or transgender. Although results for transgender respondents of all genders were released as one category alongside cisgender men and women, experts warn that such labels may miss people who are queer but don't identify with those labels. An analysis of data found that roughly 23% of the total LGBTQ population and 32% of transgender people lost their jobs in the month before the survey was conducted. Comparatively, only 15 to 16% of non-LGBT people lost their job during the same time period. Roughly 12% of LGBTQ respondents and 24% of trans respondents said they sometimes or often didn't have enough to eat, and the figure was between 6 and 7% for non-LGBT people. And finally, here in the state of California, the state of Ohio became the 18th state covered by California's travel ban restriction due to anti-LGBTQ legislation. Ohio passed House Bill 110, which is a law that allows for medical providers in the Midwest state to deny care to LGBTQ plus Americans. California Attorney General Rob Bonta said, quote, "Blocking access to life-saving care is wrong." The travel ban went into effect last Thursday. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan. And in studio, we have Faith Gambetti and Kath Berry, life partners for, I don't know, how long have you been together?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. So life partners for 2.5 years. And this interview is specifically for Faith to talk about her feelings and thoughts about a week away from her gender reassignment surgery. So thank you again, both of you, for taking your time out of your busy schedules to be with us tonight.
Well, thank you.
Yes, and we are excited to hear about what you're going through and what your thoughts have been. I know I hear bits and pieces on Facebook, but for the most part, I remember you talking about this day coming, Faith, and how important it was for you, and we needed to have you back here so that you can share about that experience, about what you're going through. So continue. So how are you right now?
I'm really good. I'm really, really good. It's it really sunk in when my surgeon's office set it up for the anesthesia at Deaconess Hospital, Spokane, to call me and ask me a gazillion questions, medical questions, and it really set in that this is really, really, truly, finally happening. And I don't know if excited is a good enough word. I'm thrilled because I'm finally going to be whole. I'm finally going to be me. I'm finally going to be the person that I was supposed to be when I was born.
Tell us a little bit about how it was for you growing up a little bit and why you feel that you weren't whole.
Yeah.
Well, so I always knew that I was different, and I always felt ever since I can remember that I was born with the heart, mind, and soul of a woman in a boy's body. I renamed myself Faith when I was just 11 years old after a friend. And I went through so much of my life in just utter confusion about who I am, my sexuality, but mostly trying not to be who I really am, which caused a lot of heartache, a lot of pain that really just disrupted my life and almost destroyed me many times over.
It sounds like you've had quite a journey, Faith. So to happier times today.
Yeah. What are you feeling right now? Just share. It's okay to share your tears and everything.
So I'm finally at peace. I feel a calm.
She's also off estrogen, so I've been pretty scared lately.
Say more.
So she has to be off estrogen 3 weeks before surgery and 3 weeks after surgery. Heaven help us all.
What? We want to know what you're noticing, Kath. So, what are you noticing?
I'm very familiar with this, of course, right? So
we'll say why.
Menopause, severe menopause. So, you know, emotional swings, crying a lot, getting irritable, having hot flashes. So it's been perfect.
Everything's the way it should be, right? 66 is a little late for menopause, though, Faith.
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, I'm having hot flashes right now. I've been going through a lot of emotional things at the same time. So I have a lot of happy emotions, excitement of being thrilled. At the same time, I'm going through some hardships. So being off of the estrogen, it hasn't really been easy. I keep telling Calf, gosh, I just want my estrogen back. So it'll be 3 weeks Friday. Well, actually Thursday, since I had to stop the estrogen. So, but, you know, I have Kath. You know, Kath has been through all of this. She had her surgery back in 2018. So, gosh, I mean, I have somebody that's been through it. So, you know, so the excitement that we're sharing together is totally amazing. It's beautiful. It's something I never dreamed possible. It's surreal, like a dream.
It's surreal, like a dream, to have someone in your life who's been through it. Is that what you're saying? And who's loves you and can help guide you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And she's so supportive. And to have someone that totally understands where you're coming from and what you're about just makes it just, you know, it's icing on the cake. It just makes it so much better. It really does. She's been so helpful through all of this. And, you know, I don't know if I could have ever done it, you know, without her help, to be honest with you. Kath did it all by herself. She didn't have anyone. So I'm really blessed, you know.
Yeah, and I'm going to be taking care of you.
Right.
Around the clock.
Kath, that's beautiful. I want to ask about you're there supporting Faith on this journey. And I'm curious about some of the knowledge that you're sharing. Could you like share some of the stuff that maybe you're sharing with Faith to?
Well, I try to, because of course she asks a lot of questions about what she can expect. She's having a bit different surgery than I did. So I can't match exactly my experience to what she's going to experience. I think she's a little bit more optimistic about how she will be doing in post-recovery than maybe reality, but that's kind of the way I might have been too. So there may be a little bit of a shock coming, or maybe there won't. I don't really know, but that's that kind of preparation to ask questions, try to understand what you're going to be dealing with. And, you know, that's what I've tried to help her with, because of course I have experienced it.
Can you give a couple examples for those of us who haven't experienced it or haven't been around someone so close who has experienced it?
See, how graphic shall we get? Let's see. You never want to sit down ever again. You know, there can be a lot of pain. You have drains that need to be maintenance of. You need a lot of pads. There can be a lot of bleeding. So there, you know, there's a lot of things. And you are probably going to be on a pretty tight schedule with your medication. You know, if you get behind on your pain meds, you can get really in trouble. So, you know, I'll be managing all of that to make sure she.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's, yeah. So lucky.
Yeah. What a gift you are. I mean, to be there. I mean, I know you love each other, but to be going to have gone through it, you know, it's always wonderful. I bet that's so relieving for you, right, Faith?
It really is. It's been so much help. I could ask her anything and she, you know, has the answers to it. She's researched everything for herself. And then she, you know, has done some research for me. So what's really wonderful about this is that Kath and I, we're doing this together as a team, you know, and so that is really, you know, the best part. The reason why I'm becoming whole is because Kath and I are doing this together as a team. And also to you, Cher, and I have been a part of the team as well. You've played a really big, intricate role in me just being me. So, you know, it's, you know, Kath is, she's the main cheerleader, and, you know, and you and Di and Roger and Daniel and the LGBTQ community here in the Tri-Cities and all of our LGBTQ guests and allies that come into the salon, the support has been absolutely, totally amazing. And so many people, you know, are behind me and are so happy that that I'm going to be whole. It really has been the experience of my life.
Kath, you want to say something?
You know, I think it's very helpful for Faith that I know exactly what to bring on this adventure. You know, everything from big pillows, you know, to everything that you might need after you've had surgery. So that's a real plus.
It is. But, you know, she's been holding my hand the whole time all along the way. And to have someone hold your hand, you know, I mean, there are times that you feel scared, you know, it's a major, major, major surgery. And it doesn't really matter how major it is. It's something that has to be done to be right in the world. I've had Kath, you know, to lean on, you know, so I don't know. I just can't find the words to describe, you know, what it means to me to have her by my side.
Well, she's always asking me about myself, how I felt after surgery, you know, and mostly what I say is I just felt relieved. That's mostly what I felt. And the other thing I felt was that I'd always been this way my entire life. I'd never been the other way. So that's a weird thing, but that's a complete mental snap that goes on there. I've never been like this, anything but this ever in my life.
That must be a very hard place to be in when you know who you are inside, but society doesn't see you like that. And to feel so separate from what society says you are and what you feel you are, and now you're coming into society and you are going to agree.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
No wonder the relief is such a big, powerful word.
It really is. And I can't wait to feel that relief. I can't wait. It's like, really, is it Friday yet?
You make me think, Faith, when you came to our radio show and you came to my play, Private Lives, Private Lies, when you came out in front of everyone, it feels like that coming out again.
Right.
And this time is, you know what I mean? It's like, when you were talking about your community and having Kath and having us and having Roger and Daniel being there to support you, I just see you when you were talking to my audience, the audience at the play, and how free you were. You were just such a beaming light. You know, you had just come out, you were dressing the way you truly are inside. You know, you were being Faith, right?
Right.
And now you on this journey to really complete the process, right?
Right.
And I just see you like sharing it. You just coming out. It's like you're not holding back anymore.
No, I don't hold anything back. You know, I tell people about visiting the two of you and going to Walmart. I had you know, one of you on each side of me. And, you know, I mean, I was scared to death, but I felt so good. And I learned through that process of being with the both of you that it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. It doesn't matter, you know, it just doesn't matter. And not caring what other people think or feel is freedom. It's freedom like I never experienced before in my entire life, just pure freedom. And it felt powerful. I mean, really, really powerful. And so this Friday, I'm going to be born again. I'm calling it my rebirth. And I'm even going to the same city where I was born. So, you know, I was born in Spokane, Washington. I was born in the wrong body. So now I'm going back to Spokane. I'm going to be reborn into the right body. Yeah, I'm going to be reborn.
Powerful.
I didn't know that you were born as a baby in Spokane. That's deep.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really, truly is. It's huge. It's huge to go back to the same city, and especially not even living near that city as a kid growing up. So that, you know, it just, it's fate. It really is fate.
So what's happening with your children? Did they congratulate you or?
So my children, when I came out, and, you know, Kath was with me when they saw me as myself for the very first time. That was a year ago in March when Kath and I both saw you. So my daughter, she in the beginning said, I can never accept you as a woman. But then, you know, she sends me a purse for Father's Day. So she has accepted me. I think it's really hard for both of them. And I think it's harder for my son. When I came out to him, he said, oh, now I get you. Now I get you. But it's still difficult for him. But, you know, they both have been, you know, so good to me. Really, they really have. You know, they haven't been negative or anything like, you know, they just have been supportive in their own way. And my daughter said, you know, seeing you the way you are now, I've never seen you so happy. And she said that means everything to her, that, you know, seeing me happier now than I ever have been in my life means so much to her. So, you know, good things are happening from this. You know, they're happening in my life. They're happening in other people's lives. I get to, you know, do trans women's hair. That this was the first place they've ever gone in public. We just had that happen again recently. And a mother brought her transgender daughter in for a haircut. She was so scared to death. She could hardly say a word. And Kath was also there that day. And, you know, we just let them be themselves. And all we do really basically is make them feel comfortable while we're here and assure them, give them assurance, you know. So this is really my whole entire life now, to be honest with you. Serving the LGBTQ plus community as a transgender woman. God, I can't wait to cut hair after surgery.
Oh my gosh. What a wonderful service that you both provide the community up there. I mean,
it really is totally amazing. And so we're growing our fourth and final station. Looks like tomorrow that's going to be filled. So we're looking very forward to having profits, and what we'd like to do is share those profits with the LGBTQ plus community to help people out with their name changes, their legal matters, whatever the case may be. So that's why, you know, I love doing hair. I love the art of doing hair. But, you know, this salon is bigger than that. It's life. And it's life, not just for me, but for so many other people. And we just want to give back to the LGBTQ LGBTQ plus community as much as we can and be there for them and help them as much as we can. That's what this salon is really all about. Kind of like Sheridan and Di, you know, with your radio show, the way that you two give back. It's amazing how you two give back to the community, the LGBTQ plus community. I really, truly do wish that, you know, that we live closer so I can be a part of, you know, of everything you two do for the community. It's just astounding what you two give. Both of you are great role models for not just only myself, but for the entire LGBTQ plus community throughout the world.
Oh, that's so sweet, Faith.
Thank you.
But I'm just thinking about you and what you're going to be doing. You had no idea that this salon would be a foundation place for your community and your activism. And look at you. You're speaking out. You have a voice, a strong voice. And people love you. I mean, I hear what people say on Facebook all the time. I'm reading your posts because you have that charismatic, that openness, that love. I mean, your freedom has just opened you completely. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, Faith. I just want to say that.
Well, thank you so much. So, you know, before I came out, you know, I was not, you know, an introvert. You know, I was not born an introvert, but I became an introvert because I wasn't myself. So, you know, I was scared to death to talk to people. And once I came out, you know, the real part of me, the extrovert, I guess you might say, kind of came out. So,
yeah, I have a question for you.
Okay, for me or Kath?
For you, Faith.
Oh, okay.
What would your little girl say to you right now? What does she want to say to you?
So, my little girl, my little self would say, we finally made it. We finally made it. We've been through so much, and we never gave up, and we just kept moving forward. And we're there, and we made it together.
She was a late bloomer.
Yeah. I think everything happened the way that it was supposed to, though, because, you know, I don't take anything for granted, you know, whatsoever. You know, I mean, it's really made me, you know, that little girl is always going to be with me. I mean, she is who I am. So we did it together, and we're going to continue holding hands through the rest of this life as we're passing through.
Yeah, I wrote a letter to my girl self from childhood.
Oh, did you find that helpful?
It was heart-wrenching, I guess it was.
Are you recommending or encouraging Faith to do the same?
I think she has passed that point. You know, that was early on when I was searching for what I'm doing to make myself right. And I just felt I needed to write that letter.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us before your surgery. We look really, really forward to speaking with you when you're all healed up and ready to go back to work and cut hair and do your thing, honey.
Yeah, do my thing. I was interrupted there, so I was, you know, kind of lost my train of thought a little bit. I wish I hadn't been interrupted, but it is what it is. I'm going to have the freedom that I never felt before in my life. So, oh, I'm busting out, baby.
Ah, oh, that's fantastic. Well, we look forward to speaking with you again, Faith and Kath, and we will talk again, and then this will be one big show, and it'll be fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. We love you guys so much.
Back at
Thank ya. You. Thank you. And we will be sending out healing and prayers and make everything go smooth. We want the best for you.
But. All right. Thank you so much. And you two will be the first to hear from me after surgery.
Okay. Oh, excellent. That interview took place on April 5th, 2021. And after our music break, we will continue with the interview that was pre-recorded in late September 2021. And here is Lost Angel by Myra Bird.
Shards and pieces, hands rough and bleeding, all folds and creases. Your pain is one thing, your heart's another. Where is your sister? Where is your mother? But your shame will leave you if you let her in. Cast your guilt down. There is no sin. Where you've seen her face before, your lost angel's at your door. She was a child, grew up beside you, a mirror hoping that you would see through all your days running from her sweet face. So much like your horse when your finger traced, but she never left you. Let her in, pull off your mask, look true and listen. You swear you've heard her voice before, your lost angels at your door. No matter where you stand.
So we are back for our October show, and it has been 6 months since we have talked to Faith Gambetti. And Faith is back with a report. She's going to let us know how things have been going since her surgery. The last time we talked to you, Faith, it was in April. Welcome back, and we are so excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. It feels really, really, really good to be back and to be on your special show.
So it's been 6 months. We want to know how the surgery went and how you are feeling and everything that you can share about it that you feel comfortable sharing.
Well, the surgery really could not have gone really any better. It took a little bit longer than what the surgeon had first thought, but it went really well. Absolutely no complications. Everything went just as it should.
That's wonderful. That's good to hear. I'm just thinking about Faith in your last interview. You talked about wholeness, and that was key for you, that you really were looking forward to being completely yourself. And so if you can break it down a little bit for everyone, for our listeners, when you walked into the surgeon and talking, having that conversation with the surgeon on your way to the operating room, what was happening in that moment for you?
So it was really surreal. I mean, Kath took a picture of me laying there, and I actually made a Facebook post saying it's almost time. And at that moment, the surgeon came in and kind of squatted down and said, Faith, are you excited? And I said, yes, I'm very excited. Let's do this. And he said, okay, I'll see you in just a few minutes in the OR. So, you know, the next thing I knew, I was in the OR and they actually gave me a spinal for the lower half of my body and then also gave me an IV that put me to sleep, not completely. And the surgery happened and I woke up. And the feeling that I had when I, you know, when I woke up was the feeling of wholeness. You know, I couldn't see myself down there, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, the feeling of wholeness for the first time in my life, you know, being 66 years old was something I dreamed of my whole life, you know, being a complete human and being right in the world.
Powerful. And I notice how the listeners don't see you, don't see that breath that you held just now. And that was very powerful and very telling of you going back and feeling that wholeness. So thank you for that.
You know, it's really, I feel choked up right now because really my life has really, really changed so much. Before the surgery, you know, life was good. After I transitioned, before I transitioned, life was just so difficult for me. And because it was difficult for me, I had such a hard time relating to other people. Because I was hiding something, I couldn't let them know who I was. And so, you know, people pick up on that, which made my life really difficult and in a lot of different ways. But since the surgery, since coming out in September 28th, 2017 to share, my life started changing and living as my true self and not living a lie anymore. And everything was really, really so much better, but it wasn't complete. And now that I've had the surgery, everything is complete. As a transgender woman, you go through all these different feelings and phases, like using the women's restroom, for instance. It's like when you first start doing it, you know, you're living as a woman, you're dressing as a woman, but you're going into the women's restroom and you know you're not right. And then the way things are still in our country and world today, it could be pretty scary going into the restroom. So no one's going to see you, you know, but still, you know, you're not right. But after surgery and you know you're right, you know that you belong.
You sound like you've been liberated.
I have totally been liberated. So I was in Spokane. Dr. Stiller did my surgery, but they don't let you leave for 2 weeks. So Kath and I had to stay, you know, in a hotel there. And everything went so well. I mean, 2 days after surgery, I was taking walks. You know, Kath would take me to the park and we were, you know, we were taking walks. And after my first week at the hotel and I had my first week checkup and they took off the bandages. And for the first time in my life, I was not ashamed of, you know, somebody seeing me naked. You know, I had absolutely no problems with it. I didn't feel ashamed. I didn't feel embarrassed. You know, and I even said to the nurse and Kath, this is the first time in my life that I've ever been without clothes and didn't feel ashamed.
And powerful. And how was it for you to see yourself in that way for the first time?
It was like a miracle. It was really like a miracle. You know, it was like this, it was just so surreal and a miracle when I saw myself and the medical assistant handed me the mirror and I saw myself as the way that I was supposed to have been born. Just your whole body, your whole persona, everything changes about you, your aura, everything. It's just become so much brighter and happier and it just lights up your spirit.
I just want to comment and say about, I can relate to what you're saying based on what I see from Facebook. During that time of transition, you being completely your whole self, you're posting, it's amazing. you just, liberation is a wonderful term, Cher, that you use, that you just showed up like so authentically in a different way. Even though you were doing that, it went to a different level, Faith. You know, it was like, here I am, girlfriends, you know, like.
It's like being born all over again. It's everything is anew. Being in the presence of women for the very first time and really feeling, you know, I had no idea this was going to happen. But, you know, when Kath brought me home, one of the first places we went was to the salon, and our girls were there. And in the presence of them, you know, people that I'm close to, it's really hard to describe, but, you know, now we're the same, you know, and so it just had really put a whole new meaning to sisterhood.
Wow. So we're going to get back to the salon, but I want to talk about Kath and being a caregiver, because I remember in the first interview, Kath was saying about how difficult the process was, but you telling us your process was not bad at all, the healing process. And so I'm just curious, we're curious about that.
Okay, well, so my surgery that I had was less invasive as Catherine's surgery. I went with the vulvoplasty, vulval meaning external female anatomy. So I look just like any other woman in that area, and I have a clitoris and I have lips and I look just like any other woman, but I don't have a canal. And the reason why I chose that surgery is because people choose that surgery for different reasons, but the reason why I chose it is because I'm 66 years old and I'm a little bit heavy. And so my primary caregiver, you know, was very excited that I chose the vulvoplasty, as was my surgeon. And I'm absolutely, totally, I'm fine with it. I've just never been happier in my life, to be honest with you. So not having a canal, you know, is totally fine, you know, with me. So
then that's the reason why you had a quicker healing time period than Kath.
Right. 2 days after my surgery, you know, I walked almost a mile in a beautiful park in Spokane, Washington. You know, I mean, I don't want to say that the surgery was a piece of cake, you know, was a piece of cake or anything like that. You know, I mean, there was some pain to go along with surgery, and there was, you know, some healing time. But because the surgery was less invasive, healing time was faster and less pain. Mm,
wonderful. Yeah, you mentioned that you weren't completely under anesthesia. You said they knocked you out, but not completely.
Right. And so, but I felt like I was completely knocked out. So, you know, I don't recall anything other, you know, one of the nurses was holding me. I had to put my head down and put my arms on her arm. And I was down like that. And they gave me a spinal and then, or an epidural. And then they put something in the IV, and I, you know, I felt like I was completely out. You know, I don't feel like I was awake or I can remember anything that happened or anything like that.
Faith, talk a little bit about Kath being your caregiver and being by your side through the process. I know last interview, you were so appreciative to have her be there for you.
So it was absolutely amazing to have Kath with me. Kath had already been through the same process. She knew what to expect. She knew what was happening. And she was there for me just 100%. It was amazing to be there with her. It's amazing to be in love with another transgender woman. That made it just like so over the top special to have her take care of me. Another transgender woman who had already been through the process was, I felt soothed by that, and I felt protected by that. And to have a transgender woman as, you know, your lover and your life partner, and to be there for you, that was a real special moment for me and time for me to have her with me. It just really was. There's just no words to describe how appreciative I am for her. And to have somebody, you know, that fully understands what you're going through and why you're going through it is just really huge. It really is.
And would Kath say you were a good patient?
Okay, so I'm going to be honest here. So I'm going to have to say that, you know, it's not easy taking care of somebody who has just had, you know, surgery like that. There were some times where, you know, Kath, you know, we were in a motel room. The motel room wasn't bad, but, you know, Kath had to get away from me for a little while and take a few walks, you know, from time to time, you know. But the love outweighed all of it, all of the trying times, you know. So we look back on it now and we laugh about it. So that's a good thing.
That's a real good thing.
Yeah.
I remember the first interview when Kath was saying, oh, menopause and the estrogen, you know, you wanted your estrogen back. And so that's why I wanted to check in and see how that process went for both of you.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, now that you bring that up, you know, so I had totally forgotten about that till you brought that up. So yeah, 3 weeks before surgery, you cannot take your estrogen, and you cannot take your estrogen 3 weeks after surgery. So, you know, that part was, you know, I'm going to say that I was pretty needy.
Pretty needy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So I really know what menopause is really like. And so does Kath.
Well, that's wonderful. You could laugh about it now afterwards and that you're tighter than ever. So,
yeah. You know, and I just want to say this. I want to go back to my life, you know, prior to coming out to share and on September 28, 2017. Life was really difficult, you know, and I didn't know how to relate to people. And because I didn't know how to relate, I think a lot of people could sense that and they didn't know how to relate to me. And then I came out to share, and then things got so much better. And then when I started living as myself and not living a lie, living true to who I really am, things got, you know, just so much better relating with people. And now after surgery, it's amazing my relationships with the LGBTQ plus community and outside the LGBTQ plus community and other transgender men and women, lesbians, gay men, bisexuals. I mean, just everybody in general. I mean, my relationships and socially are just so, so, so much better. I always dreamed that it could be different, you know, than what it used to be. And now it is different, and I couldn't be happier.
I saw that celebration. I can't recall on Facebook, and you had all those people in your salon, all that support system, lots of people. What was going on? You remember what was that occasion?
Yeah, so, you know, everybody's life is really, really, truly different. So Kath and I, we had a commitment ceremony. And so many of those, some of those people were our clients, some people are our friends, some people are our LGBTQ plus community. They were there just to share our love. And people told us it was the most beautiful ceremony that they had ever witnessed. It was just amazing. So much love in the room. And we had a lesbian minister do our ceremony for us. And it was just absolutely so beautiful. But I want to get this in there because everybody's lives are different and everyone's circumstances are different. But, you know, Kath and I, we had lives, you know, before we met. And both of us tried to live as cisgender straight men. Well, that didn't work out for us. And, you know, we both have children and we both have wives. I've been married for 29 years. Kath has been married for 35 years. And we're both committed to staying in our marriages and taking care of our wives. And our wives deserve us and our love just as much as Kath and I deserve each other. So that commitment ceremony was about that. We have commitments that we're not going to break, but we also have committed to taking care of each other for the rest of our lives.
That's a very interesting living situation. So tell us a little bit more about how you were received by your wife after your surgery.
So, you know, my wife, she doesn't really particularly care, or I shouldn't use the word care. She has a hard time dealing with me being a transgender woman. She will call me her wife, you know, and she does call me Faith. And she does the best that she can with it. And that's really, you know, all that I can ask. With my wife, there's a huge problem in that she has dementia. And so I could sit down and I could have a heart-to-heart talk with her, but 30 minutes later, she's not going to remember what we talked about. She does respect that I'm a transgender woman. She does respect my pronouns. She calls me Faith. So in our given situation, that's really all that I can expect from her. Kath helps me take care of her.
So let's talk a little bit about the salon. You wanted to talk to us about the salon. And, you know, in the last interview 6 months ago, you did mention that the salon is more than a salon. You called it you said the salon is bigger than that. It's life. So tell us how it's going with the salon.
You know, the salon is another miracle within itself. So here we are in Tri-Cities, Washington, the most conservative area in all of Washington State. And here we are smack dab in the middle, an LGBTQ plus inclusive salon. And I just want to say that parents, mothers are so happy that we are here who support their non-binary children. So there are so many of them. It's just amazing. Here in this conservative area, there is a very beautiful, large LGBTQ plus community. So mothers bring in their non-binary children to get their more gender-affirming haircut. And watching those mothers look into their children's eyes for the first time as themselves is just amazing. We don't call our clients, we call them guests, you know. And the guests see themselves in the mirror after we finish their haircut, and they just light up, tears roll down their eyes, their mothers start crying, and everybody's hugging. It is really so much bigger than hair. It really is. It's about lives that matter.
You're giving these kids something that probably you would have loved to have had when you were their age.
Oh my goodness, yes. You know, if I could have been myself, like say when I knew you, Cher, you know, if I didn't have to go through the wrong puberty. And all of this this helps us fight legislation, bad legislation, bad for our community and bad for, you know, our transgender men and women who are children. I mean, we have joined the fight full force at Wavelength Salon. And that is just, you know, so huge. I learned in cosmetology school two things. One of the first two things you learn is that you never talk about politics and you never talk about religion. But I got to tell you, we make one hell of a great political statement.
You said it. Wonderful. Wow, that's so powerful to have in a place like that. And you created that. That was your vision. You wanted that, Faith.
I did, and so did Kath.
Mm-hmm. It came to fruition, and you have more stations and more cosmetology people, you know, coming forth and wanting to be a part of what you've created, what you both have created.
It's amazing. It really is. I've been in this business since 1994, and it's never meant more to me than it does right now. You know, and I wish that, you know, my body could do more and that, you know, I could work more hours. I really do. You know, I just, if I'm going to the store, I'll just stop in just to say hello, but I can only do about 15, maybe 20 hours a week. But, you know, I'm there for all of that. So, you know, the LGBTQ plus community just means so much to Kath and I. And we are family. We are family. So, yeah, the salon is just so, so, so special.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for creating such beauty and having a place for those. I mean, you painted the picture. I felt it. I could see it in your face, how you set up this place for the LGBT plus community and their families to come and feel a part and feel not so isolated, you know? It's a gift. Thank you.
And then when they see you and they see Kath, they come into your business and then they see you glowing. Nobody can ignore the glow that you emanate.
It you know, I've never been happier in my life. There's no confusion anymore. There's no secrets. You know, I hate secrets. I don't have to hide anything. And this is who I am. And, you know, when a young member of the LGBTQ plus community comes in, you know, and they ask questions, you know, I'm going to tell them the truth, what I've been through, because I don't want anyone else to have to go through what I've been through. It's just not necessary.
That's such a gift. Mm-hmm. We want to thank you so, so much for being on yet again to tell us, share with us your process 6 months later after surgery. And we will love to have you anytime you want to come back and tell us what's going on in your life and in the state of Washington. And
yeah, so I would really love to come back and have Kath with me, you know, at my side. You know. And I just want to say that I still borrow her strength and she borrows mine from time to time. And being a transgender woman and being in love with another transgender woman has been so beautiful. It really has.
So as we're ending, I think you might have something else that you, because you've just gone through a whole big ordeal about your life and changing it to be complete. Is there any words for anyone who maybe is thinking or considering reassignment surgery? Is there anything that you might want to say to them?
Yeah, so, you know, everybody is different. You know, gender reassignment surgery might not be for you, but if it is, don't hold off. Do it. Just do it.
Wonderful. That's a great, great words. And we can also point people to this interview as well. This interview will be up on our website in case people didn't get to hear it live, so you can point to your friends to it. I think it's phenomenal that we will have you, you know, 1 week before your surgery and then 6 months after your surgery. So that's quite wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Faith.
All right. Thank you so much. Listen, could you send me another link to Outbeat Radio?
Oh, sure. We'll get that done for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much. I love you both so much.
Love you too, Faith. Okay. And our best to you.
All right. Have a great day.
So remember, like Faith, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help make other people become aware of the road you travel and perhaps make it an easier road for others to walk. You can help us make this world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then,
good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Beale Street Caravan is next.